ஓம் சதாசிவசமாரம்பம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் நவடேஸ் I see one traditional Sanskrit word used widely all over, and that Sanskrit word is yoga. Yoga is becoming very, very popular, not only all over India but all over the world. People are getting interested in yoga, and various magazines also, including newspapers, carry lot of articles regarding yoga. And therefore I thought it will be nice to have an idea about yoga as discussed in our traditional Vedic scriptures. The word yoga has often written is derived from the Sanskrit root yuj, which means to unite, to combine, to come together, etc. And the word yoga, derived from that root, means union, merger, coming together, etc. Bhava Vyutpattihi, union yoga. So naturally the question will come, union between what and what? And therefore the scriptures point out, it is the union between Jivatma, the individual self, and Paramatma, the universal self. And therefore the word yoga means Jivatma Paramatma Yogaha, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam Yogaha. And then the scriptures point out that this yoga, the Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, is the real and primary goal of human life. Parama Purushartha, and it is called Moksha also. Thus yoga, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, Parama Purushartha, or moksha, all these are synonymously used. And thereafter, the scriptures themselves elaborate this. And later, interestingly, the scriptures themselves point out that really speaking, this union is not possible. Having presented this union as the goal initially, the very scriptures themselves later point out that really speaking, this union is not possible. And why it is not possible? Because Jivatma and Paramatma are not two different things to join together. Joining is possible only between two things which are different and away. The very scriptures reveal later that Jivatma and Paramatma are only two words, but they are not two things separate from one another. Jivatma is Paramatma, Paramatma is Jivatma. Aitadatmyamidagam sarvam tat satyam sa atma tat tvam asi shvetaketoho. Then naturally the question will come, if Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same, and if the union itself is not possible, why should the scriptures introduce the yoga as a goal? Then the scriptures themselves explain that and point out that really speaking, the yoga is a form of Viyoga. What we really require is not yoga union, but what we require is Viyoga separation. Separation from what? The scriptures say separation from our delusion. Separation from our delusion or moha. What delusion? The misconception that Jivatma and Paramatma are different. This is our misconception. Jivatma is different, Paramatma is different. Jivatma is here, Paramatma is there, and we have to travel and travel and travel and ultimately merge into Paramatma. This is a pakka delusion. And what is required is separation from a removal of this delusion. And when this delusion is removed, I understand Jivatma and Paramatma are one and the same. Therefore, what is yoga? Nothing but Veda Brahma Viyoga. Therefore, Shankaracharya and Bhagavan Krishna in the 6th chapter says, the word yoga really means Viyoga or separation from our delusion. So, Viyoga eva Viparita Lakshanaya Yogaha iti uchyate. Just as we often use the word Brihaspati in the opposite meaning. In scriptures, Brihaspati means very wise, learned Devaha. And we use the word Brihaspati in the meaning of fool. So how a word will have an opposite meaning? Similarly, the word yoga is nothing but a removal of the misconception and claiming that I, the Jivatma and Paramatma, the individual self and the universal self, the essence of me and the essence of the world, the essence of the micro and the essence of the macro, both are one and the same. This is the meaning of the word yogaha, aikyam, mokshaha, viyogaha. This is the primary goal according to Veda. And the Veda points out that every human being will have to discover this moksha. Only then the fundamental and universal quest, urge of every human being will end. Every human being has got a fundamental quest, fundamental desire to know three things. It is instinctive and universal, which is natural to every thinking human being. Human being is supposed to be a thinking human being. And these fundamental questions occur off and on. And you know what is that question? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I here for? Who am I? Why am I here? Or what am I here for? Not or. And what am I here for? In short, what is the meaning of life? This question often arises in the mind, especially when we confront problems in life. Otherwise, it will be suppressed. Because we are in party celebrating New Year, most of the time we are engaged in worldly superficial activities. They suppress the fundamental question, but now and then this question will keep on arising. What is the meaning of life? And this question disturbs every human being. And as we grow older and older, and as our external activities come down, this question, which was previously feeble, now becomes bigger and bigger. Like the ticking of the clock, during the daytime you don't hear. But in the night, when everything has ended, stopped, and you are not getting the sleep also, the clock ticking becomes louder and louder. Similarly, this fundamental quest, which is the subtlest form of samsara, the fundamental quest which disturbs everyone, this samsara will come to end only when I discover answer to these questions, and that is possible only through this yoga. And since this yoga is the primary goal of every human being, in Sanskrit we call it sadhya yoga. Sadhyam means the destination, the goal, the ultimate goal of every human being. Of course, there are so many other goals in life, but they are all subservient to this primary goal. And therefore, sadhya yoga, sadhyam means what? the ultimate goal. And having presented this Sadhya Yoga, the scriptures themselves talk about the method of accomplishing or fulfilling this ultimate goal. Because we have got a short life and there are so many distractions and activities, how to design the life in such a way that preferably before death I will hit at the bull's eye. And the scriptures themselves design methods, and the three disciplines are prescribed by the scriptures as a means, as a path, as a method to attain that goal. And those three methods, otherwise called sadhana. Sadhana means what? A means to attain the sadhya, the end. And what are those sadhanas? Three of them: karma yoga, upasana yoga, and jnana yoga. Karma, upasana, jnana, yoga. And Shankaracharya points out, these three are called yoga, even though they are not really yoga. They are figuratively called yoga because they are all meant for the real yoga. Yogarthatvat yoga. Being a means for yoga, they are called gauna yoga, secondary yoga, meant for what? The primary yoga. Sadhana yogas are called secondary yoga. Sadhya yoga is called primary. Secondary leads me to the primary. And of these three yogas, the fundamental and the most important one is karma yoga, because that alone gives the foundation for the other two. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the most important spiritual books of the Hindu, which contains the essence of all the Vedas, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna elaborately talks about all these three, and one full chapter we get the topic of karma yoga. Titled karma yoga itself, there is a chapter. And having elaborately discussed that, Krishna condenses the entire essence of karma yoga in one beautiful cryptic verse in the 30th verse of the 3rd chapter. Krishna encapsulates this karma yoga principle. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashihi nirmamaha bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Krishna advises Arjuna. And in this important verse of the entire Gita, or one of the important verses of the entire Gita, Krishna presents five principles of karma yoga. Pancha angani, panchangam. Don't say shuddha panchangam, சொல்லி dismiss பண்ணப்படாது. This panchangam is extremely important. And it is nice to remember on the New Year's Day so that we can implement the pancha angam the rest of the year. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetatha adhyatma chetaha bhava. This is instruction number 1 given by Lord Krishna to all of us on New Year's Day. If I say, I don't know to what extent you will accept, therefore I say this is Krishna's instruction 1. Adhyatma chetaha bhava means what? May you keep moksha as your primary goal of life. You can have any number of your own personal, family, corporate goals, but may you keep moksha as the primary and ultimate goal or destination. Moksha meaning what? Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam or Bheda, Brahma, Viyogaha, freedom from delusion. So this is called becoming a spiritual human being. So what is instruction number 1? Don't be a materialistic human being. Life will become a greater and greater burden, and old age will become still greater burden. Therefore, let there be materialistic goals, nothing wrong, but may you balance it by having moksha as the primary goal. In short, become a spiritual human being. Spiritual has got proper meaning. Don't take any other spirit New Year also. Therefore, people go for so many other types of spirits. Therefore, take it in the right spirit. Adhyatma chetaha bhava, instruction 1. Then the second instruction is mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. May you dedicate all your actions as an offering to the Lord. Whether it is small or big action, secular or sacred action, all your action throughout the day, throughout life, convert it into a worship by dedicating the actions as an offering to the Lord. Ishvara arpana bhavanaya karma kuru. And what do you mean by dedication to the Lord? How do you do that? By dedication, what we mean is, may you invoke the relationship between you and God in the context of every karma. May you invoke the relationship between you and God in the context of karma. What do you mean by that? This we will understand only if we remember the definition of God according to our scriptures. According to our scriptures, God is not a person sitting somewhere beyond the clouds. God is not a person sitting somewhere beyond the clouds. God is defined as the invisible, all-pervading, intelligence principle which pervades the entire universe. And not only the entire universe, but which pervades all the laws, the cosmic network of laws which maintain the creation in rhythm and harmony. The creation is crisscrossed, pervaded by WWW. You know what is WWW? World Wide Web of infinite number of laws at the micro and macro level, which function perfectly, because of which the universe is functioning as one cosmic organism. And not only there is a cosmic network of laws, and there are special laws governing all the actions and reactions. These special laws called the law of karma, which includes the physical laws as well as the moral laws called dharma. Therefore, there are special laws governing karma and karma phalam at the physical level as well as at the moral level. Scientists study only the physical laws. They don't think about the moral laws governing the universe. Thus, the laws of the creation in general and the special laws called the law of karma. Who is Bhagavan? The intelligence, invisible, all-pervading intelligence, pervading the creation, pervading the general laws, and pervading the specific law of karma. That means what? Whenever I do any action in the world, sooner or later, this action itself will produce its reaction called karma phalam, which is determined by what? All the laws of karma. And these laws of karma will give me what? Karma phalam, the reaction. And when we say the laws of karma will give me the phalam, the scriptures say that don't say the laws of karma gives the phalam. The laws are presided over by a cosmic intelligence principle. Instead of saying the laws, you change the word to the Lord. Laws to the Lord. Therefore, who will give me the result for every action? The Lord presiding over the law of karma will give me the result. Therefore, Bhagavan is defined as karma phala Dada. I am what? Karma Karta. And Bhagavan is Karma Phala Dada. If you shorten these two words, I am Karta, Bhagavan is Dada. And what is the relationship between me and Bhagavan? Karta Data Sambandha. Kartra Datra Sambandha. Doer Giver Relationship. Doer Giver Relationship. This relationship is activated when I am involved in action. And I keep on doing action, Bhagavan keeps on giving the result. Generally, we ignore or forget this fact. Karma Yogi is one who invokes Kartra Datra Sambandha. Doer-giver relationship existing between me and God, I am constantly aware of. This awareness is called the invocation of this relationship is called Ishvara Arpana Bhavana. This is instruction number 2. Invoke the relationship between you and God. Then what is the third instruction? Nirashihi Bhutva. Very important instruction. Ashihi in Sanskrit has got several meaning, like wish, desire, expectation, etc. We will have to note the third meaning. Ashihi means expectation. Expectations with regard to future and expectations with regard to the karma phalam, the result of action, expectations are natural to every human being. But Krishna says, expectations are natural, and in fact, expectations are very useful also, when you are planning your program. Expectations are natural and expectations are very useful when you are planning your program. Suppose you want to plan today's program. Naturally, you will expect our puja to start at 6:30. And you will expect my talk to end. I am keeping the clock. Okay. You will expect my talk to end at 8:15. And you expect to leave this place and you have made other programs. Therefore, all our plannings are based on expectation. Therefore, expectations are useful at what stage? At planning stage. Krishna says, keep the expectation at the stage of planning, but once planning is over, kindly set aside all your expectation. Nirashihi means what? Nirgataha Ashishaha Yasmatsaha. Never keep any expectations in the mind or don't dwell on the expectation. Dwelling on the expectations will have several adverse consequences. There are disadvantages. What are the disadvantages? Many. The first disadvantage is, when I dwell on expectations, the mind gets preoccupied in those expectations, and therefore your mind is not available for the task at hand. If you keep on watching your watch, I think that's why it is called watch perhaps. If you keep on watching your watch, you don't listen. And therefore, dwelling on expectation causes preoccupations. Preoccupations will reduce your efficiency, and that is the definite recipe for a wrong result. Therefore, expectations are obstacles during the implementation of plan. Not during plan, during the implementation of plan. Therefore, nirashi, don't think of the results. Then the second and world's disadvantage is, when we live a life in which we keep the expectations in the mind all the time, we are looking at the world, looking at people, looking at events through the spectacles of our expectations, we get into a problem. Because most of the people will not measure up to our expectation. Most of the people, or none, will measure up to our expectation. And no event will happen or measure up to my expectation. And therefore, when I look at the creation, people and events through the goggles of expectation, we will only develop a negative attitude towards the creation, a pessimistic attitude, a cynical attitude, because we will conclude everyone is selfish. Because whatever we want that person to do to me, he didn't do. So our judgment will be everyone is selfish or everyone is ungrateful, because we calculate what all things we did to them. We will make a list without forgetting anything. And I have done so much. And those people do not reciprocate. Therefore, I will conclude everybody is ungrateful. Everybody is opportunist. I will only have a negative attitude towards the creation. And if it extends later, we will extend it to what? Bhagavan also. Because we have got an expectation with regard to what all things should happen everywhere. We have defined some people as good. Of course, we are the main one in that list. And the good people, that is me, should never suffer. And we have got a list of bad people and they all should suffer. Thus, we have got our own expectation. And we find God is not doing that. And therefore even God comes down from the standpoint of our expectation. Therefore we conclude God is also unjust or unfair, or some people go further and ask the fundamental question, really does God exist or not? The way our politicians thrive, the scammers thrive. Scammers in a puriyada. Therefore, if we dwell on our expectation, we will become pessimistic, cynical, negative, and our life will be miserable. Therefore, Krishna says, don't live on expectation. When you look through that, you are living in Jiva Srishti. You are living in a private world. Remove the expectations and live in the world of God without labeling anyone. So this is the third instruction. Then what is the fourth instruction? Nirashihi nirmamaha. Each one is a profound thing worth meditating upon the rest of the life. Each one is a very, very, very pithy words. Nirmamaha means what? Without claiming ownership with regard to anything in the creation. Because according to the scriptures, the entire creation belongs to Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan means, remember, not a person sitting. Remember the cosmic, invisible intelligence principle. The entire creation belongs to the macro, the total called Bhagavan. As an individual, I cannot claim or own anything. Legally, for the sake of convenience, we can own a flat, ownership of flat, and that way, after that, first they have ownership, later they are flat. Therefore, that way it is called ownership of flat. So we can have some documents and we can claim this is my chappal. At the end of the class you take your chappal and only your chappal. So thus we can have some ownership for the sake of convenience of transaction. But it is only a superficial thing. Vedanta says, don't take this ownership seriously. From spiritual angle, may you remember that I am not the owner of anything. I am the user of a few things which are gifts from God based on the law of karma. I am user of a few things which come as a gift from God according to the law of karma. I have to use this for discovering my goal, but let me not try to own and hold on to that. Anything which is with me can be snatched away at any time, including our closest and the most valuable possession called body. Death never comes after asking permission. Can you fix up a date? We will have an appointment. No. Bhagavan gives, Bhagavan takes, not according to fancy, but according to, again, the law of karma. Always remember, then only you will have detachment. Ownership and attachment are synonymous, which will create lot of problem. And because I don't own anything, I don't have control over anything. We have ownership and controllership are always two sides of the same coin. And therefore, nirmamaha means always remember, I don't own anything. And as an individual, I don't have control over anything, including my own body. But that does not mean we should become fatalistic. Everything is decided by God, therefore why should I do? We don't say it is fatalism. We do accept there is a free will, but we say we should understand the free will properly. We don't have controlling free will. We have got a contributing free will. We contribute our share to the totality. Like voting. We contribute our share to totality. After our contribution, what is going to happen, I cannot control. Therefore, I accept contributing free will. I understand I don't have controlling free will. Remembering this fact is called nirmamaha. Nirmamaha yudhyasva. Yudhyasva means what? Keep on contributing. To maintain good health, you do regular gym, gym, all of them you do. But irrespective of all these things, after 5 years, whether your body will continue or how will it continue, we do not know. But continue your exercise. Continuing is contributory free will. But what will be after 5 years, it is some other thing. So, nirmamaha sanyudhyasva. Just keep on doing, keeping expectations out. This is the fourth instruction. And the fifth and most powerful and most difficult instruction, vigata jvaraha. Jvaraha literally means fever. And here Krishna talks about mental fever. And mental fever is anxiety regarding the result of the action I am going to undertake or I am undertaking. This anxiety is called jvaraha. This anxiety is very, very natural. Therefore, Krishna advises, may you neutralize this anxiety. Because again, anxiety weakens our efficiency and therefore may you learn to neutralize this anxiety. Really speaking, if you follow the first four instructions properly, anxiety will be less only. But if you want to reduce the anxiety still further, we can neutralize it further by offering an appropriate prayer. We do pray in our life, or at least many people offer prayer. But the problem is the prayer is inappropriate. வாட் ஈஸ் அவர் ஜெனரல் பிரேயர்? ஓ காட் கிவ் மீ சக்சஸ். ஓ காட் கிவ் மீ சக்சஸ். But this prayer is not appropriate prayer because what I am going to get will depend upon what? Not what I pray, but according to the law of karma and according to the quality of action, the result is going to come. As the popular saying goes, Bhagavan doesn't give what I desire, Bhagavan gives what I desire. And therefore, God give me success is inappropriate prayer. And secondly, in the vision of God, there is only karma phalam, there is no success or failure. Karma phalam alone exists. Success and failure are nothing but our own private judgment of the result. It is our subjective interpretation. Objectively, there are neither successes nor failures. There are only karma phalam. Therefore, in Bhagavan's dictionary, there is neither success nor failure. Therefore, if you ask for success, avarku puriyadhu. He won't understand. Then he will look at his dictionary, kaanave kaanave. That is Jeeva Srishti. Then we will ask, shall I ask for karma phalam? Okay, I don't ask for success. Can I ask for karma phalam? That also is meaningless because whether I ask or not, Bhagavan's job is as a data. He will give the karma phalam. If he is going to keep the karma phalam, he will not have place to keep. And therefore, Vaikunthame naranju poyidu. And therefore, he will disperse, distribute. Therefore, give me success is inappropriate prayer. Give me karma phalam is inappropriate prayer. Then what should I pray for, if at all? Oh Lord, give me courage. Give me courage. Courage means what? To make two important statements and mean them. The first statement is, O Lord, I am willing to go through any karma phalam that you want me to go through according to the law of karma. This statement is very important. O Lord, I am willing to go through any karma phalam that you want me to go through according to the law of karma. And the second statement is, I am confident of going through any karma phalam that you want me to go through according to the law of karma. These two statements I should make. And not at the lip level, but from the innermost heart, I should make this statement which requires a lot of courage, especially in crucial projects. If I have to say that, it requires tremendous guts or courage. I seek that courage, and according to scriptures, getting the courage is success. Getting this courage alone is success. And I keep on making this statement and meaning this statement, I am willing to go through, I am confident of going through. How long? Until the karma phalam comes, I keep these statements in my mind. And if I build up the courage, anxiety will come down, because anxiety is inversely proportional to courage. Greater the courage, lesser the anxiety. Lesser the courage, courage is mental courage. Lesser the courage, greater the anxiety. Therefore, I build up the courage to make these two statements until result comes. And after the result comes, the courage itself will get converted into mental strength to go through any karma phalam. Before result comes, it is courage. The courage becomes a strength after the karma phalam. Therefore, a karma yogi who builds up this courage doesn't have anxiety at all. Sukha dukkhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Therefore, there is always samatvam, no anxiety, there is no labeling of the creation. I don't say life is terrible. I always have got either a wonderful or neutral attitude towards life. This is called equanimity or poise. Samatvam yogaha ucchate. These are the five principles. Number one, keep moksha as primary goal. Number two, dedicate every action to the Lord by invoking doer-giver relationship between you and God. Number three, keep off, double F, keep off all the expectations from the mind. Number four, remember, I am not the owner or controller. I am only the user and the contributor. Four. Number five, practice, train yourself saying from the innermost heart, I am willing to go through and I am confident of going through any karma phalam. If this pancha anga are followed, I am called karma yogi. Then what is upasana yoga and jnana yoga? I will summarize in 2 minutes. Upasana yoga is private rehearsal, mental rehearsal of karma yoga. Upasana means mentally being in the presence of God. Daily morning, a few minutes, I invoke the Lord and remain in the presence of the Lord. Lord invoked in any form we like. And in the presence of the Lord, I recollect all these five principles and I take a resolve that throughout the day, I will implement all these five principles. And O Lord, I seek your grace to follow, and above all I seek courage from you, so that I am ready for facing any blessed thing. Enadan nadakkum nadakkattume yadyad bhavyam bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanu rupam. This courageous life I invoke in upasana yoga. Upasana means remaining mentally near the Lord. And if I practice the karma yoga and upasana yoga, which is a rehearsal for karma yoga, I am ready for jnana yoga, which is nothing but going through a spiritual education program under a guru. Jnana yoga is spiritual education program or course under the guidance of a guru who has got a beautiful syllabus to go through, and when I go through that, my delusion goes away. Jivatma Paramatma Bheda delusion goes away. Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is accomplished. Sadhana Yoga will lead to Sadhya Yoga, which is the ultimate success of life. And it is this success we seek on the auspicious New Year's Day. With this, I conclude my talk and I wish you all a very happy, healthy, prosperous, yogic New Year 2013. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.